Hey, mamas, before we jump into today's episode, I just want to remind you that although I am a licensed psychologist, I'm not serving here as your psychologist. This podcast is not a substitute for direct mental health care. If you're struggling with a mental health issue of any kind, please reach out to a licensed professional. You can also contact the National Suicide Crisis Line by calling or texting 988. There's no shame in having a mental health issue, and it should always be taken seriously. Welcome to the Mama Shrink Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Hauver, licensed psychologist, certified coach, and Gen X mama of two amazing boys. My belief? You can't be an awesome mama unless you're taking care of yourself first. And that's exactly why I created Mama Shrink. You'll get my 20 plus years of experience combined with some very real life struggles. And together, we'll unpack the mental health, the physical health, even spiritual health to get you loving your mama life again. Listen, these kids of ours, they're only young once, and it goes by so fast, and you're never, ever gonna get this time back. We must learn to enjoy this wild ride of parenting. So, if you're up for it, Mama, let's do this. Welcome back, Mamas. It's episode 3 of Mama Shrink, and I'm Dr. Cynthia. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I have been practicing for over 15 years, and I'm now focusing some of my attention to the online world to reach more moms out there and help you take care of yourself, become better parents, because I really believe that we can't be great parents if we're not taking care of ourselves. So that's what Mama Shrink's all about, and all of the episodes to come are going to be focused on that. Also, I have some upcoming episodes on parenting with chronic illness, parenting with mental illness, parenting a difficult child. So in addition to focusing on moms and doing things for ourselves and other mom topics that come up, I'm also trying to interweave some of these topics about, you know, parenting and questions that I get asked often and see often in my practice on how to help people with some parenting issues as well. So any topics that people are interested in, feel free to email me. I'll do my best to address them. There's some topics that I'm not as familiar with, but lots of things I am. So I'm happy to do a show about topics that people are interested in, because I think it's important as moms that I do shows on us setting good things for ourselves to set us up for being great moms, but also to help you with some parenting challenges that we all face. And I think you'll find as I go on in my podcast, I'm pretty honest and open about sharing my own life experiences and how they shape me and, you know, both personally and professionally. So I'm do my best to be as honest as possible, because I want to set an example for moms to really be okay with being real. You know, I see so many moms that are scared to just be honest about their fears and their concerns or challenges. And I hope that by doing this podcast, that makes it a little easier for people, because, you know, as I say in the intro, you know, we are perfectly imperfect. You know, as moms, we are trying our best, doing the best we can with the resources we have. And we're all into this together. And I think we just need to be more real and honest with each other and help each other out. So anyway, getting into today's topic, I thought, following up with last week, I was talking about boundaries. And so today I thought I would really focus on energy vampires. So I mentioned briefly last week about toxic people and how, you know, thinking about that toxic person in your life and who an energy vampire is. I mean, that's the term that I throw out there for toxic people. But I want you, you know, I had some questions about, you know, gosh, you know, when you said toxic people, what do you mean by that? You know, like, how do we really identify some of these energy vampires? And, you know, what do you do with that? Because unfortunately, we all have them. And sometimes they're people in our family. And some of the relationships can be a little bit more complicated to set boundaries with. So I thought today's episode, I would talk a little bit about energy vampires, what they may present like in our life and what we can possibly try and do about it. So the easiest way to sum up an energy vampire is you really know that you have one in your life when you walk away a lot of times from the conversation, the interaction, feeling depleted. So the biggest thing is that you just feel depleted. It's something that really makes you tired and uncomfortable and struggle. And you sometimes don't know, like, God, what just happened to me? Like, I was feeling good. And just the person's presence made me feel like my soul was being sucked dry. So that's what I'm talking about when I mean an energy vampire. So one of the things is, you know, really trying to look at the characteristics of toxic people. So I'll refer to toxic people, energy vampires, kind of, you know, they're the same thing. But how do, you know, what are some of the characteristics they have? So I came up with a list of things that I wanted to share with you. So they're always usually the victim of something. So life is never fair to them. So no matter what, it's kind of like, oh gosh, everything in life happens to me. I'm always the victim. I can't ever get a break. You know, every time you see them, there's usually something wrong. And hey, listen, we all have things and some people do have worse luck, but it's the way they go about presenting it. It's like there's nothing ever positive that comes out of their mouth. A lot of times they're selfish, so the conversation often is around them and their needs. They may be someone that when they're on the phone with you, you hang up the phone and you think to yourself, wow, that person didn't even ask about me, or I didn't get to say anything about my life. They usually have something negative or just something to complain about. So, you know, it could be, you know, a perfect day and they might say, yeah, well, I think it's going to rain tomorrow. You know, it's like no matter what, it's always something negative instead of something positive. Sometimes they just look miserable. And, you know, I say this jokingly, but, you know, it's kind of what people refer to when people have the bitch face or the pout face. Like they just never look happy. It's almost like as soon as you see them, they don't look happy. They rarely have anything positive to say. They may interrupt you. So you may actually be in the middle of saying something and they just start talking about themselves or talking about something else. Or even worse, like they start picking up their phone when you're in the middle of a conversation or answering their phone when you're in the middle of a conversation. You know, it's those things that sometimes people think, well, no, I thought that was normal, but it's not. I mean, like that doesn't make people feel good when you're in the middle of talking about something and someone's, you know, checking their voicemail or looking at their text. And oftentimes what I refer to and in my practice is I will call them help rejecting complainers. So no matter how much you try to help them or offer them help or offer them advice, you're always getting something like, yeah, but I can't. So it's never enough. And no matter what you say, they're never going to do it. So again, I refer to that as being a help rejecting complainer. Usually they'll take up all of your time and then ask for more time and more time. Like it's never enough. And it can feel sometimes like no matter what you do, it's never enough. So you just kind of feel sucked dry. Like, I just can't do enough for this person. And you don't feel like it's often reciprocated in return. No matter what you say, you can't please them. Usually things are always about them. They take up a lot of your time and energy. You often don't feel good after being around them. They don't respect your boundaries. They call when they need something from you. Their energy is just exhausting. That's the best way to explain it. And sometimes what's really confusing to people is people, you know, can be really charming and good at first, or maybe have a great first or second impression. And then you start to feel like, whoa, something different just changed here. Like, this person seems a little bit too much always about them or their needs or what they want. And, you know, that's usually a sign that you have a toxic person on your hand. So as I read this list, I just want you to think about who comes up for you. You know, who, any of those things I just mentioned, like, did someone pop into your mind? Did someone come to your head and you're like, oh God, yes, this person, you know, whoever that may be. And just think about it for a second. And then, you know, I want you to just think about, like, what characteristics this person has and try and start focusing on what they do to you and how they make you feel. And then, you know, go back and listen to the podcast from last week and try to start thinking about, are there some ways that I can start setting some boundaries with this person? But I think a lot of times it might be really, really hard to do that. And so the more comfortable you are with realizing, like, no, I really am dealing with a toxic person here, the more you're probably going to be able to set a boundary. And, you know, toxic can come in the form of manipulation. So feeling kind of like the person who always makes you feel guilty, or you walk away thinking like, God, I feel like I never do enough for this person. Or maybe they say some kind of passive aggressive comment to you, you know, like, oh, those are nice shoes. I wish I could afford some of those. Or they're always coming out with something that feels like they're putting you down, but you don't do the same to them in return. And, you know, try to start thinking about, what would it be like to not have that person in your life? You know, would it feel good? You know, I mean, I've had people come in to see me where someone in their family has been so toxic to them that they've actually, like, not been upset if this person passed away. I mean, because it was a relief, because the person was so toxic. And no matter what they did to please this person, it was never, ever enough. And, you know, there's a lot of toxic people in the world. And, you know, it's sad for them, but it's sad for us to have to tolerate it. And it's really sad when it's someone that's a family member and you feel like, oh God, I'm just going to be stuck with this. So I want you to really recognize, even if you're not ready to set that boundary yet, what it looks like in your life. So at least you can say, wow, that person is toxic. Because the first step towards change is recognizing that there's a problem, right? Like, we can't change something unless we really recognize, like, no, that's an issue. This person is an issue. And as moms, we don't have space for this in our life. Like, we need to start trying to focus on taking some of this away from ourselves. So it's really, really important. So people will often say, like, you know, well, if people are so toxic, why don't people just get rid of them? And I think, you know, if you're dealing with someone in your life who is toxic, I think you probably already know the answer to that. You know, we have relationships with them. Sometimes there's history with them. Sometimes we're related to them. And it's really difficult to start finding ways to release this person. And I often, you know, will say, even if you do a little bit, even if you set a few things to do to try and give yourself some space, then that's a good thing. So a lot of times the reasons it's so hard to release someone toxic is they may be a family member. They could be a friend, a partner, a child, even, you know, a grown child who just keeps taking and taking from you, and you really feel depleted, but you feel like you can't set that boundary, but they're not changing and they keep, you know, sucking you dry. They may make you feel that they can't live without you. So a lot of times there's a lot of guilt involved in dealing with a toxic person, even extreme guilt that I've heard from people, where people will say things like, well, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself, you know, and right then and there, it's like, wow, you are dealing with someone very toxic in your life, because that is the ultimate manipulation. You can't just keep doing that to yourself. You can't just allow someone to manipulate you in that way. And that happens a lot more than you would think. Usually the other person doesn't like if you try to back away from them, and they suck you back in. And a lot of times toxic people are very good at, you know, knowing just when you've about had it with them, and then doing something super kind to reel you back in. And that often makes it very difficult as well to release a toxic person. A lot of times you feel horrible about ending the relationship, that somehow you're a bad person for not having them in your life anymore. It can cause a lot of guilt and shame and more guilt. Sometimes you feel sorry for the person. Sometimes, you know, their lives are kind of pathetic. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one they have. But if you're the only one they have, that is not your fault. That means they're doing something in their life that is causing that. You know, they have a choice. And if you're all they have, there, well, two reasons. One, you might be the only one that's willing to put up with them. And number two, it's their responsibility to find other people in their life. You are not responsible for their happiness, but toxic people will often make you feel as if you are. And so you feel very stuck to get out of that relationship. One thing that's I see a lot, and why it's so hard for people to remove toxic people, is a lot of people have grown up in dysfunctional families, and having toxic people around them, even their own parents, is normal. So they don't even realize sometimes that the person's toxic. They just have grown up with it. It's been part of their life for so long that they don't realize that this is abnormal. And, you know, I often, when I have someone that I'm meeting for the first time in my practice, when I point out to them that, you know, it seems like this person, you know, may be toxic in your life, they're almost like aware that I'm right, but shocked at the same time. But I often know it's because they've been surrounded so much and have been raised in such a toxic environment that this has become normal for them. And a lot of times what happens is we become comfortable with what we're used to, and what we're used to may not always be happy. So dysfunction can be normal. You know, it doesn't mean that it's healthy. It's not good, but it becomes our normal because it's what we're used to. So a lot of times people will have many toxic people in their life because they've just grown up that way and they're used to it. Sometimes the person that's toxic is someone, you know, that you're in a romantic relationship with, and you feel like you can't let them go, that somewhere in your mind, you know that they're not good for you, but you still can't let them go. And, you know, we see this a lot with, you know, domestic violence, and it's very complicated to understand. But there's a component of, you know, even though they know that this person isn't good for them, that they're not treating them well, they still are unable to let them go. Some people feel immense fear of even thinking about removing that person from their life, or feel they won't be able to function without that person in their life. So also, if you're a people pleaser or an empath, which, you know, you feel a lot of feelings, you take in people's stuff, it will probably be much harder to remove a toxic person from your life. because you are very sensitive. It's not that it can't be done, because I believe we can always do hard things, but it is more difficult for people who are people pleasers. But I do promise you that if you practice, if you use what I talked about with the boundaries and try to engage in self-care, removing someone who's toxic from your life will become easier and easier. And sometimes you keep a person in your life who's toxic because, you know, it makes sense or it feels easier. Just feels easier to, you know, deal with calling your mother every day when she just makes you in a bad mood because you just don't want to deal with her wrath of the other side. Or a lot of times people will stay in a abusive relationship because they feel they can't financially support themselves or there's children involved. So a lot of times it just feels in the short term easier. And a lot of times in the short term, it is easier. But in the long term, again, you know, people aren't going to change. They're not just going to magically change who they are or stop being toxic, you know, and a lot of times toxic people as adults, like they never change. They just don't, because they're not usually going to be the ones that are going to therapy and saying they need help or they want to change. And if they do end up finally going to therapy saying they want to change, it's usually because something horrible has happened. And, you know, sometimes they don't really want to work on changing. And a lot of times toxic people will, what we refer to as therapy shop. So, you know, they'll work with a therapist. The therapist will eventually try to call them out a little bit on how they're affecting other people. And then they go to another therapist because they don't like that therapist anymore, because they don't want to do what they need to do to make the changes. But I want you to think a little bit about, what are the risks involved in not letting someone toxic go from your life? Because, like I said, they're not going to change, and there are risks involved in allowing this person in your life. And the biggest risk as a mom is, what is that doing to your children? You know, because it is affecting your children when they see you constantly engaging with someone who's toxic or giving in to someone who's toxic. Or, you know, if there's a toxic, you're involved in a toxic relationship, like your kids are taking that in and you're teaching them that it's okay to be treated that way, you know, and even if you tell your children it's not, it's still getting into their minds that, well, if it's not, why would you allow it to happen? So there's a lot of things, and even more so as a mom, we have to be aware of what those toxic relationships can do. And, you know, if you're dealing with it, I just want you to know, like, the person isn't going to change, you know, unless they have to. And a lot of times, even then, they won't. They'll continue to make you feel depleted. That's not going to stop. Even if it stops temporarily because you try to set a boundary, sometimes they come back around and suck you back in. So it's not going to permanently stop. You know, toxic people don't just suddenly change. And stress, I mean, stress is a silent killer. You know, I've seen more people so sick because of stress than anything else. And, you know, when you're dealing with a toxic person, start to pay attention to what goes on inside your body, and that your body is literally becoming flooded with stress and cortisol and what that is doing to you. And that's horrible. So, you know, you're also, I mean, literally over time, if you're highly engaged with the toxic person, it literally is killing you. And, you know, this relationship probably won't stop unless you're the one that stops it. So you have to think about being the one to set the boundary and to make the relationship stop, or to have very firm boundaries in place. And, you know, when you let a toxic person go, at first it might be very painful, but, you know, I've been working with people long enough to see that over a few weeks, you know, the miraculous change, once they can get themselves out of that relationship, they just start to see so clearly how much that was impacting them, or even setting some small boundaries with the person, how much that makes them feel better. And, you know, these are smart, educated people I work with. And, you know, it's just relationships and toxic people are everywhere. And it's hard to even recognize sometimes when you're in them. And when I'm able to help someone get out of that, you know, even in the beginning, if it's painful, I've never had someone come back and say, why did you make me leave that toxic relationship? You know, it's always, oh my God, I am so thankful I left that relationship. I can see things so different now. I can see what that person was doing to me. I could see how it was destroying my family. I can see that I'm able to take care of my kids on my own. Like, it always turns out well. You know, now, if you're involved with some in a situation where it could be dangerous to leave, obviously, you need to go talk to a professional. Like, that's a very serious situation. You don't want to just start setting boundaries if you're in a domestically violent relationship. That is something that definitely you need to talk with a professional about. But, you know, if it's something that's just manipulating and conniving, you know, trusting yourself that you're able to go and get out of it. I mean, I've seen people become, you know, people who are very depressed become less depressed, less anxious, less stressed, happier, increase self-esteem. You'll bring more positive people into your life because you'll be more positive. And a lot of times, you know, if you have someone toxic in your life, you might have other people in your life that don't want to be around you because they don't want to be around this toxic person. So it's kind of a ripple effect, and you're going to allow new energy to come into your life because you're letting go of this toxic person that has been, you know, destroying you for a long time. So, you know, again, I just want you to think about what it would be like to have the person in your life and what it's like to let them go, and realize it's not easy. You know, it is not an easy thing to let someone who's toxic go. But everyone that I've ever worked with that has let someone toxic go from their life, even if it takes a little while, has always felt relief. They always feel better on the other side. I've never had anyone come back to me and be upset about letting the toxic person go. So it's painful. It's hard. It's going back to, you know, what I talked about last time was setting boundaries, but it's so important. And I've seen people who have done this over and over again and gone on to flourish and have healthier and happier lives and realize that they deserve better than, you know, having this type of person in their life. They just deserve better. And it's important, if you do have someone toxic in your life, to just recognize, why am I allowing this? Why do I keep this person in my life? Because there might be a pattern there, and you don't want to go and find someone else toxic to replace that person. You want to start feeling like, no, I want to be around happy people. I want to be around healthy people. I want to not have this negativity in my life anymore. And if you're listening and you're thinking like, oh my God, am I the toxic person in someone's life? I would say that the fact that you're even thinking that you may be, you probably aren't. But you know, let's face it, we all do toxic things at times. So, you know, if you're recognizing some of those things in yourself, then you can change it, right? Like, that's it. That's the great thing. It's like, change happens because you want it. The people who don't change is because they don't want it. So even if some of the things I've talked about today are resonating with you, then try and work on changing them, you know, because I believe that we can all change. We're not stuck unless we want to be. We can all change. So I just want to leave you with that positive knowing we all have the capacity to change. So even if you recognize some of that in yourself, you can change it. We all can. So thank you for tuning in. If you have a toxic person, go back, listen to the last episode about how to set some boundaries. If you have questions, again, let me know. You can email me at drcynthia@mamashrink.com. You can check me out on my website at www.mamashrink.com. And I hope you tune in next week. Thank you so much for listening, mamas. I really value your time. And if you like this episode, please share it with a friend and leave a review because they always help. If you want to learn more about me, just head on over to my website at drcynthiah.com. And you can find me on the socials at dr.cynthiahhoffer. Until next week, please keep on taking care of you because life really is too short not to be happy.